Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Danny Parkin Show.
I like sex. Go to Europe.
Fridge shirt. Sweetener shirt.
On 670 The Score.
78 pitches for Kershaw, very efficient. You take him out there after the sixth inning. Is that to save him for something?
Yeah, I mean, you just figure he's going to be on regular for his next start. So you got an 8-1 lead, and, you know, with nine outs to go, we got to be able to protect him.
You know, Kershaw was on, had a pretty good breaking ball going. You know, really short, and I think there's some deception involved. I mean, you can appreciate and totally see why he's heading to the Hall of Fame one day whenever he's done. But, I mean, he had good stuff. Velo seemed like it was popping out of his hand pretty good. Really did a nice job against us.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
That's both managers from the World Series talking about Clayton Kershaw's performance last night. He had his good stuff. He gets a World Series win. Today's a bullpen game. You heard John Morosi talking about it. He's got 12 playoff wins. He's got 12 playoff losses. Some of it was against known cheaters when he would lose. But part of the story with Clayton Kershaw is that his postseason ERA is two full runs worse than his career regular season ERA. So as we continue on with the Danny Parkin Show here with Mark Carmen in, Carm, first of all, before I ask you what I thought was one of the best sports radio, sports talk hypotheticals I had heard in a long time, and I'm saying that sincerely, when you think of or you know about Clayton Kershaw as a playoff performer, do you put much stock into Kershaw's playoff struggles as being a negative on a first ballot Hall of Fame candidate's career?
Yes, I do, Danny. I mean, I think you have to. First ballot, to me, you're dominant in the playoffs as well. He's been the opposite of that. So I do believe in, I guess, ballot integrity. Those who get in on the first ballot should have no major, major gaps in their resume, and that would be a huge one. I also think, for the record, Parko, he needs to wash his hat.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool when you're in high school. You're a major league baseball player. You're a role model to some point. Like
it's, a role model. Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes. Yes.
Stop.
Clean yourself. Take a shower. use a washing machine.
Shep, Shane, I told you Carm was just going to come in with bad takes.
Good Lord.
This is stupid.
Shane, your hat, I'm looking at you right now, is fresh. It's a nice White Sox hat. You wouldn't wear that dirty thing around.
No, it's super clean. Well, the problem is, I think that in like baseball players get a lot fewer hats than we think. I was talking to somebody in spring training. I was talking to somebody in the clubhouse in spring training just about equipment and stuff like that. They get like 3 or 4 hats a year.
So?
If that. And guys get attached their hats. You, Carm, you probably have a couple hats that feel really good on your head. When you get a new hat, it gets like boxy and pointy at the front. So you break it into your head and it just feels good. And maybe that's just his head. It's also his disgusting greasy hair.
You can still have the same beautiful forming hat and wash it. Like, it could be cleaned, can it not?
I think it shrinks then, doesn't it? Like, haven't you put a hat in a dishwasher?
You gotta re-stretch it out. Yeah, exactly.
See, I
agree,
guys.
Also, baseball players are the most superstitious athletes I've ever encountered by a considerable margin.
Couldn't we have saved this for 5 o'clock?
Why are you gone at five today?
No, I think it's a power hour topic. Yeah, it's a power hour topic. Hats, yeah. The hell out of here.
Washing hats is stupid, by the way. It's a waste of time. Like I've never washed a hat in my life. If it gets so dirty, my hat that I'm wearing right now, I wear almost every day. It's perfectly fine.
Studs, can I call you Studs? Are we on the level that I can go to that right all, you know, first day here?
Please.
Okay. I play a lot of tennis. I get a whole line of salt on the hat. It's nasty. What am I supposed to do? Walk around with that? I'm cool tennis guy?
See, and I work out a lot, but I don't wear hats when I work out. That's how I solve that problem because I know that that happens. I have one hat that I used to wear a lot to run, and it got like that, and I said, well, this hat's just gone now because I'm not going to wash it. It's a waste of time.
I love your hygiene takes, Carm. you're concerned about Clayton Kershaw's sweat
as a role model because he doesn't wash his hat.
Come on, Chef.
I like Shane coming to the defense of Clayton Kershaw. He only gets 3 or 4 a year because Clayton Kershaw, you know, he can't afford to go to Lids and buy an authentic baseball cap with his $200 million contract.
You imagine?
Like, oh God, Clayton Kershaw needs a new hat. Let's
Clayton
pass
Kershaw
around
goes
the,
to Lids to
pass
buy
around
a hat.
The jar.
Do you have any idea the cost of living in California?
That's true. Fair point.
It's true.
You can't just go willy-nilly buying hats all over the place.
It's probably an $80 hat in California.
Am I really the only one that has a reaction to the hat when you see the hat?
It literally doesn't matter.
I don't have a care in the world, no. Cool, he's wearing a hat. He sweats a lot. He's a baseball player.
Yeah, I just my standard for baseball player hygiene is very, very low. Like they're kind of they could be gross and they're superstitious, and so it doesn't surprise me at all. But I just gotta say, if Shep is dunking on Carm's takes and Shane's takes simultaneously, that's how you know it was a bad sports thought. And he did just dunk on both of you.
Let me just say one more thing. Somebody had to take that hat and stitch in the World Series emblem. Then what about that dude that has to touch that thing? You think about him or her, huh?
No, I don't think about him.
No, this is literally the first I thought.
No, I don't care. I don't know.
He's probably telling the story of, like, see how sweaty that hat was? Hey, kid, I stitched that cool logo on the side of it.
See, I'm just out here seeing everybody. Everyone's got a life to live.
It's true. That's true. You see everybody. You're a very considerate, compassionate dude.
Thank you.
In that way. Okay. Clayton Kershaw's hat, that's a subtopic of the Clayton Kershaw conversation. It's like a subreddit thread. I'm enjoying it. Let's keep that going. And just park it over here for a second when I ask you this hypothetical, Carm, because I genuinely believe this. So Paul Pabst, he's the producer of the Dan Patrick Show. I'm going to cite that again. Paul Pabst, it's his question from the Dan Patrick Show. I love this question. It's a moral question. It's an ethical question. It's a sports question. It's an individual versus team question. If you were Clayton Kershaw, would you want the Dodgers to sweep or be up 3-1 so you get to pitch again in Game 5? Given how much the conversation has been about him and postseason struggles, he has a great Game 1. If he got to pitch again in a Game 5 and it was an elimination game and he pitched great and they won, maybe he gets a World Series MVP. He gets to maybe it's not a blowout with their offense and he gets to pitch in a pitcher's duel where there's actual pressure on him in a World Series game. He delivers. He could go a long way to exercising those postseason demons if there is a Game 5. And this is going to come as a shock to none of you when I'm saying, if I'm Clayton Kershaw, give me Game 5 up 3-1 instead of a sweep.
So can I put this in radio terms, Parco?
Please.
Okay, let's just say...
Speak my language.
I'm thinking of a Danny Parkins back in Kansas City days where he's coming on after a Kansas City Royals preseason spring training game. And I remember hearing you one time. It was one of the great things you said in your early career. There was a high school football game or basketball game or something, and you got on there like, I'm your bridge from meaningless preseason baseball to meaningless high school football. And I'm like, this guy's unbelievable. He just doesn't care what anyone thinks. We're the home of the Royals. He just crushed. I thought it was just a tremendous line.
That sounds like something I would have said, and that is hilarious. I have no recollection of that, but I absolutely would have said something like that. Yeah.
So this is how I'm tying it in, though, right? So would you, in that situation, have rather gone on Or would you have rather the game went long enough that you didn't have to do the bridge at all and it just went right into football? Like, I think Kershaw, if he was confident guy and whatever, sure, I want to get out there and pitch game five and exercise demons and all that. But if I'm him right now, I'm sitting there like, look, let's just go for the sweep. I pitched great in game one. That is over. We win the World Series. 1988's in the rearview mirror. Done. I think that's how he's probably feeling. That's how I would feel. I wouldn't want to go back out there. But then I, you know, try to get myself geeked up to do it.
Shane?
Yeah, stop being so selfish. Don't be a selfish jackass. Don't. You want to sweep the Rays. Sweep the Rays and get a World Series title for your team. You've already made your money. You're already a Hall of Famer, and you're not going to convince me otherwise. I don't care. Don't be a selfish jackass. Let your team win.
Shep?
I mean, within 4 minutes, you took Carm's god-awful thought on Clayton Kershaw's hat, and you stole the segment with a worse take and worse thought. Like, I mean, that round of applause, man. That's impressive.
I didn't like the attention being off of me.
You get to sweep the World Series and not worry about a feisty Rays team that's really damn good. Or, you know, leave it up to chance there with a Game 5 and what might happen afterwards. I don't want to leave it up to chance because I want to pitch again. Get the hell out of here. Take your World Series ring that you haven't had as a franchise since 1988 and be happy.
It's clearly that's clearly the right answer as in a team sport and all of that. But I'm being honest with you guys. I'm not being a contrarian for contrarian's sake. This is not an intentional troll. Any of that stuff. I am saying to you genuinely, the human nature part of, man, he is a Hall of Famer. This is a Clayton Kershaw is different than those other guys. Like Mookie Betts, he might go to the Hall of Fame. Bellinger, they've got great players. Clayton Kershaw is in his own class. It's a team sport. It's a team accomplishment. But for him, it does mean something different in how we talk about him. Like the immortals, the legends never die part of the game. And having another chance to be dominant in the World Series for him. He doesn't think that if they're up 3-1 and he goes on the mound, the Rays are going to come back and win the series. He would think, I'm going to be the one who can close it out. And that would be good for the team, and it would be good for him. And I feel like both of those things can exist together.
I would propose that there's at least some part of him that is worried that he wouldn't be the guy, and then now you're on to a game six. And I would also propose that I don't think he gets like a huge amount of credit for winning game five in a 2020 pandemic season. Like, it's not like he went out there in game seven and was nails and knocked it down. I don't know how much it really raises his profile.
Well, I mean, it more so than not pitching in a game five.
Sure, that's true.
Right? If he wins two World Series games, it's better than winning one World Series game. So, I mean, if you're going to say, like, that this World Series doesn't matter because it's a pandemic compared to other World Series, okay, fine, then the whole thing is meaningless. But
that's a bad take. I don't mean that.
Yeah, well, so in the context of, for him, when you talk about Clayton Kershaw, it's like the 1B part of the conversation, right? 1A is, this is the best pitcher of his generation, or at least that debate or conversation. He is a
him
world
or Verlander, yeah.
Right, him or Verlander, right? Best pitcher in 20 years. And then the 1B is, but damn, what's up with him in the playoffs? You're telling me that guy doesn't want another shot at taking care of that 1B part of his story if he doesn't feel like it would come at the best of the team?
I think he always wants the ball. I think any great pitcher, heck, not even great pitcher, but just somebody that's competitive does. Are we wrong maybe a little bit on Clayton Kershaw's his legacy? Because I saw this, Jeremy Frank on Twitter, he's at MLB Random Stats, he's a college kid, goes to Purdue and just eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. I was not aware of this. Clayton Kershaw last night, it was his 9th career postseason start of 6 or more innings pitched, no more than 1 earned run against, and no more than 1 walk allowed. It's the most in MLB history. We remember the Anthony Rizzo hitting the bomb off of him in Game 6 of the NLCS. We remember the Cardinals knocking him out a time or two. I think it was the NLDS maybe even. We remember his flops time and time again, no doubt about it. But do we give him enough credit for times where he's pitched well? It just hasn't been we remember the negative, almost like LeBron at the start, not start of his career, but when he started going to finals with regularity, it was, hey, he goes to the finals, but he loses. Oh, he goes to the finals and he's standing in the corner doing nothing against the Mavericks. And that we let that form so much that people still cite back 9 years later. Is it the same kind of perhaps maybe on a smaller scale with Kershaw?
Right, Shep, but have you seen his hat?
I would never. Here, my daughter's going to be one in a couple of weeks, and I won't let her watch the World Series because they might show Clayton Kershaw's hat, and it's going to be a terrible
example.
You don't
want
her
grown
by.
Up like that.
She's going to wear a baseball hat, and it is going to be clean.
Good.
It's going to be
it's good
washed.
Parenting.
Yeah. There's not going to be a sweat mark on it.
Morals.
To answer Shep's question, and I think you're – I mean, I appreciate that you're digging in on this hat thing.
Hey, welcome.
I give Kershaw no credit. I'm probably the biggest offender. Like, all I think about is that I don't think you're going to win a big game. I don't think – to me, he's so far from Justin Verlander. Like, you have no chance to beat him. Kershaw's on the mound. Great, we're going to hit him. That's how I look at him. I don't think of him in the way you're laying it out, Danny.
I mean, the numbers would suggest that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I get it. I'm totally wrong.
He's the best regular season pitcher that we've probably seen.
Because the texter says it's ridiculous to say that he's the best pitcher of the last 20 years. I don't think it is.
No, it's not.
Right?
It's not ridiculous at all.
It's him, it's Verlander, and who else is even in the conversation? If you're just doing 21st century, right? 2000 to 2020. Scherzer?
He's led MLB in ERA. MLB, not just the National League, but MLB in ERA 4 times, led the National League in ERA 5 times. Just pulling that up, wins don't matter as much, but he's a regular 18-plus game winner in his career. He's led the entire all of baseball in strikeouts 3 times. Like Cy Young's 3 of them. Verlander's in that discussion, but the fact that someone's saying Kershaw, oh, he's no way. Get out of here. What the hell are you talking about?
Let's go full meatball. Big game, Parco. Who you can have Kershaw, you can have John Lester on the mound. Who are you taking?
I mean, to be honest with you, the postseason ERA for Lester is about 2 runs better. It's like 1.8 runs better than Kershaw. But like, if the big game is tomorrow, I want Clayton Kershaw.
Sure. Let's put him in their primes. And Lester's lost games in Oakland. That's happened. He's also come out of the bullpen in Game 7 and been incredible and shouldn't have been taken out.
I'm a guy who goes with the back of the baseball card. Like I'm the guy who believes in the talent. And Kershaw is a much more talented pitcher than Lester. Lester has something in big games. He has something in the postseason. It's not a small sample. So it's not as ridiculous of a question as it sits on its face because Kershaw is much more talented than John Lester. And I think John Lester would say that he's much more talented than him.
Sure. I mean, Lucas Giolito might be more talented than John Lester, and that's not a shot at Lucas Giolito. But we're talking about big game moments. Who do you want on the mound? And if you're talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer to bring it all the way back, I can't do it. I wouldn't vote for him if I was Paul Sullivan or whoever.
You wouldn't vote for him for the Hall of Fame?
No. I just said first ballot. I didn't say the whole thing. I'm not going
okay,
that
I was
far.
Just curious. I didn't know how mad you were about his hat. And people on the text line, this one guy keeps throwing out pictures that from over 20 years ago. Like, Pedro Martinez is that's not he's not Clayton Kershaw's contemporary.
Was late 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not his contemporary. You have to go Pedro, Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux, those guys are not that is a different generation of ball player than Clayton Kershaw. So we can separate pre-2000, post-2000 by the year 2000. That's the line of demarcation that I'm using for 21st
century.
Just
on the Hall of Fame part though, like to Carm's point, if you don't produce in the postseason, is not producing in the postseason worse than not being in the postseason? So, like, for example, would then Mike Trout, you throw his name out there, he's only been to the postseason once. They were swept by the Royals in either, was it 14 or 15, whichever year it was. Is he then, he doesn't have a postseason resume to even speak of. So is he thrown out from a first ballot part at this point in his career too?
That's a great point. It's unfair that he's getting It's true. You're spot on, Shep. I think it's a great point. Like, why are we discounting? At least he made it there, Carm. That's fair. I think that's completely fair.
This is like an old school. It's like I have no rebuttal. That's how you debate.
We just found Shep's debate partner on the show, Shep v. Carm. Is checkmated. No, Carm, it takes a certain sense of maturity and age to be able to be like, yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, should Ernie Banks not be in the Hall of Fame? I mean, we can take Billy Williams out, right? I mean, that's all fair.
Yeah. Well, but Carm, you're the guy who hates on LeBron for losing in the finals. But he gets to the finals.
Yeah, when he loses in the finals and are guarded by, if you're going down there, let's just get it all on the table here. If we're going to being in the,
give you your chance to do this full thing on tomorrow.
Okay,
show.
Great. I look forward to it. Yes, I told it against him when you're favored in the finals and you build a super team and you lose to the Dallas Mavericks and JJ Barea guards you and you scored 8 points. Yes, that counts against you.
Carm, how angry do you get when Justin Turner gets all dirty? His jersey gets all like dusty and he gets some pine tar on there. Do you hate that?
See, that is an in the moment, Shane. You're doing it in the game and then you leave the game and you shower and you come back the next day and he's got a fresh, solid jersey.
So in that moment, he's gritty.
Right. Yes,
Jason. Clayton Kershaw is grungy. That's the difference.
I mean,
gritty versus grungy.
Here, I have like the pine tar on the batting helmet, dude. If I'm going to really contradict myself, I like that look. That's a good look. Jose Abreu's got a great pine tar look. But the hat, it's on your head, like, all the time. This
might come as a shock to you, but the batting helmet is also on your head.
Well, you could have the hat over it, right? Can I go there? Is that a fair... I can't get dunked on twice here. Yeah,
no. This is what Carm's role is on the show, why he's so great at it. He has strong sports thoughts that are like halfway thought through. And he's a good punching.
No. They're on the batting helmet, there is padding in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's not on the hat. There's a definite difference.
We're in agreement that a batting helmet and a baseball hat are different. We are in agreement on that.
Very good.
More of a helmet than it is a hat.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a helmet than a hat. But overall, one is dirty and the other is also dirty. So I don't know what we're doing.
Right, but there's a functionality of that, of the pine tear on the
that,
helmet.
Yeah, there's a purpose for that.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Thank you.
Clayton Kershaw's dirty hat is superstition and laziness.
Yeah.
And grunginess.
And
maybe it's just comfort. Do we know it's not comfort? Maybe it's
no,
just
we don't know
maybe
it's not
he's
comfort.
Not
we don't
superstitious
know anything
at all.
Yeah, we don't know anything. We're just talking about Clayton Kershaw's hat, which honestly should be someone's moniker on our Twitch stream. Yeah. Receivers are saying weird things, and then a weird receiver just apparently is becoming available in the NFL. Let's talk about it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back on the score.
Snap back to Foles. Four-man rush. Foles with time. Taps the ball. Coming open. Robinson at the 32. Running left. To the 30. Down near the 25-yard line of the Carolina Panthers. Franklin, the tackle. The Panthers getting chippy after the whistle. And a penalty marker, though. A penalty marker, Tom.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer. Defense.
That's a
94.
Garbage call.
That penalty will be enforced half the distance of the goal from the end of the run. Automatic first down.
It's Tom Thayer with Jeff Joniak on WBBM talking Allen Robinson, who we are going to discuss here in a second. Tom Thayer will join us in 30 minutes. It's Mark Carmen in on the Danny Parkin Show. Was the last segment bad? Yes, it was. Was it funny? I would say yes. And if you're mad about the last segment of radio, your refund check is in the mail. Doesn't have to be that serious all the time. That is a specialty of my guy, Mark Carmen, who is just offended
seriously, he was losing sleep over Clayton Kershaw's hat last night. I could tell. You had genuine anger there, Carl.
I did, Danny, and now I'm completely rattled that people didn't love my brilliant take on Kershaw's hat, trying to make the world better over here, and I'm just going to have to hold it together.
Just get it out now while you can, Carm. Like, we don't want to have to deal with this tomorrow.
Okay, Shane, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah,
don't let one bad segment become two, baby. We're just going to flush that segment. We're just going to move on. We're going to go barrel, full steam ahead. Speaking of bad thoughts, I want to give Allen Robinson the benefit of the doubt here. I genuinely like Allen Robinson. His Within Reach Foundation just had a great virtual charity event the other night. He's embraced Chicago and done some great work. And I, you know, as badly as you can feel for a football player who's made tens of millions of dollars in his career and is set to make tens of millions of more dollars in his career, kind of feel bad for him. Like, he had a Penn State quarterback. He had Blake Bortles. He had Mitch Trubisky. He had Chase Daniels. He had Nick Foles. Like, this guy has put up top 10, top 12 wide receiver numbers with bottom five quarterback talent his whole career. So I kind of feel badly for Allen Robinson. But let's listen to the full context, because this sounds like it might be one of the worst nicknames of all time. And it's never a good idea to give yourself a nickname. But here was Allen Robinson with the Bears media today.
He's a physical corner. You know, again, I think that everybody's looking forward to it. You know, again, I mean, I think that what he brings to the table is the physicality and things like that, you know. But again, I mean, myself, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, again, you know, call me old fashioned, you know, like literally, like I mean it. Call me old fashioned. That's my new nickname. But again, Jalen is one of those competitors where he's going to compete for all four quarters. You know, he's going to compete run play, pass play. You know, he's a top two corner in his game, you know, depending on who you're asking as far as not being number one or whatever. So he's a great player.
So that's Allen Robinson on Jalen Ramsey. And in the middle, he says, call me old fashioned. I mean it. That's my new nickname. Call me old fashioned. That's a terrible nickname, isn't it?
Call me old fashioned.
I mean, it's a solid drink.
It's a great drink.
Right. I don't necessarily hate old-fashioned. That means he works hard, gets it done, willing to go across the middle, will do anything for the team. No? Am I missing something here?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. One, that's projecting as the old guy in the room. Young people don't like to go across the middle? Young people don't work hard?
Yeah.
What is this? We bankrupted ourselves with avocado toast? What are you saying about young people?
I think young people get a bad rep. That's fair. But I think he's trying to really embrace some old school World War II type of values. And that's beautiful from Allen Robinson.
So you went there. Okay. You think that he's your age, that he's some sort of boomer with that thought. That's interesting. I don't think he's thought it through that much. And if you look up old fashioned on like Urban Dictionary or any sort of slang term, it can be seen as something other than a drink or a set of values, right? It's an act that you could receive maybe in your early exploits with a member of that you're attracted to. I want to be heteronormative here, but like, you know what I mean? Like it's a thing. It'd be a weird thing to call yourself as a nickname, knowing how some people refer to that term. It just surprised me.
Are you saying it's Allen a Robinson, sex position?
It's more of an act than a position.
Old-fashioned sex act is what I'm Googling right now.
I mean, you brought your personal laptop in, right?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay, yeah, so be careful.
I have my phone, too. Well, I got to
tread lightly here, guys. Tread lightly.
Very lightly. But I'm just saying, not even for that reason. First of all, who's going to call him that? Who's going to call Allen old-fashioned Robinson?
Actually, Jason Leisure did later in the press conference.
I would think the media would jump right on it. What's up, old-fashioned?
Really? Okay. Well, Jason Leisure, I stand corrected. Good job by him. I'm sure that got a good media laugh out of it. I'm just A-Rob. He's A-Rob. His name lends itself to an awesome nickname. That's perfect. That's a great nickname.
Let's think about what Allen's trying to tell you about himself, Danny. Where is he trying to lead you with old-fashioned? What is he really – how does he want to be known? Right? He's trying to connect with the fan base and his teammates.
He's trying to connect with the fan base.
What do you think?
Well, Allen Robinson's had a weird year. Like he's had a very strange year in that he has the support of his teammates and his coach to get a contract extension that he's campaigning for mid-season. Very unconventional. Very like that is normally like if I was going to stereotype a receiver who makes it about himself over the team. Not in training camp, not in the offseason, but once the games have started, normally fans, media turn against that guy, right? You're a diva. You're a distraction. You're selfish. You're a coddled millionaire. Bears fans, it's like hashtag pay A-Rob, hashtag extend A-Rob, Tariq Cohen, Cordarrelle Patterson, Anthony Miller, Mitch Trubisky, Matt Nagy. They've all come out in support of it. So, like, this guy is beloved. By fans, media, he won the media award last year, right? The Bears beat give a player an award for cooperation and generosity with time and all that stuff. And so I agree with you. Like he's kind of projecting what he wants his lunch pail blue collar image to be. But I'm just saying, I'd go with A-Rob. I don't love it. I don't love old fashioned as a nickname.
I guess I just like the fact that he wants to, he's having a very, very mild protest here to just realizing that he's not going to get his money until the end of the year. Like how, if I'm him, I'm walking around every day like, really? You're not going to pay me? Can you look around this room at the playmakers that are here and you're not willing to give me market value? I mean, that's fair that he's annoyed by it. I would be annoyed.
Oh, I agree. I'd be annoyed if I was Allen Robinson.
So he's.
I agree completely.
So I think he's trying to just, I don't know, coach himself through the year until he gets through. So now he's come up with old-fashioned, which...
Listen, it probably was just a comment off the cuff. I just would not call him old-fashioned. No. I think there's a better way, a better nickname that we can come up with. Shep, what do you think?
I think A-Rob, from his old appearances on this program, you most definitely remember those, I'm sure.
Of course.
I think that he's a fan of the show because he probably listens when we make fun of A-Rod and nothing Alex Rodriguez has done in his life previous to Sunday Night Baseball or national television. He didn't want to disassociate himself from that nickname, so he wants to get away from the A-Rod because he's heard us making fun of A-Rod so much. That's my belief.
That's a deep thought. I'm just saying, I genuinely like Allen Robinson. I think it's going to be great, and I just don't want him to choose a bad nickname. He deserves better quarterback play. He deserves a better nickname. And did you see there is a new receiver that teams, according to Adam Schefter, are apparently going to – there's going to be competition for Antonio Brown, who is able to join teams after week 8 of this year. Seattle is already rumored to have interest in Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown is – he's everything that Allen Robinson is not personality-wise. There's nothing old-fashioned about him. He's very me-first, not a great team dude, a distraction, not a very good person by a lot of accounts, and we've seen some of that with like leaked videos and things like that that come out how he treated his I don't think that they were the husband and wife, but his partner for a time. Like it was very, very ugly separation, and the details are all out there on the internet. Frankly, I'm not I don't remember all of them off the top of my head. I'd have to brush up on them. But
it was brutal. Schefter
just tweeted that apparently there's going to be multiple teams bidding for Antonio Brown's services, and it's a league that if you can produce at a Hall of Fame level, they're going to give you a 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th chance as long as you didn't do something horrible like kneel for the national anthem. So Antonio Brown is, if he's going to be in the league, he is the type of player that would make the Bears better. Now, Matt Nagy has said he's got a no-turd rule on the team, but if Seattle's adding him, right, if he's coming into the league and he's coming into the
NFC, have turds on this team.
And it's like this bare bones, like brass tacks, all that matters is your production. He is, I don't think he's better than Allen Robinson at this point, but he is immediately the second best offensive player on your team if you sign Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown is the turd.
Hard pass.
Is the turd my dog drops after she gets into like the chicken bones. That dude is brutal. If I'm a Bear, as a player, as a fan, as a coach, as ownership, I don't want him anywhere near my football team. nowhere near it because Mooney is good enough. I'm fine with Mooney as a number two.
Dude, he's much better than Darnell Mooney.
No, not anymore.
I would argue he's no longer so good that he's worth the headache. He hasn't played in, what, 2 years now, right? We see the drop-off of even a guy like, I know this is a different position, but a guy like Gronk didn't play for 2 years. He's a shadow of himself.
Yeah, but Gronk didn't play injuries.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Again, I know different position. That was a bad example. So I'll just take that back. But it just, I wouldn't believe that he's so good still that he's worth having around if he's going to be that much of a pain in the ass.
You'd have to have such good, powerful culture and not be the team that's handing out orange slices and just everyone's having a great time on the plane. I don't think they couldn't handle him in New England. You want to bring him to Chicago?
Well, the thing is, man, Studs, what you're saying is fair, but the last time he played a full season, or, he played 15 games, was 2018. It's not that long ago. He had 1,300 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns with 104 catches. He was great. Not good. He was great. So I don't like Antonio Brown either. And the morality of it is something that I've learned a long time ago. You have to separate. We can talk about it from like a morality of like, do you want him on your team? Would it make you feel good? Is it the right thing that he gets all of these chances? We can have that conversation. I'm happy to do it. Or we can operate in the real world side of things, like how these NFL general managers talk about it, which is, man, if he's eligible, if I don't sign him, someone else will. And if that other person is competing against me on Sunday, it hurts my team's chances to win. And that's why that dude's going to get a sixth and seventh life, like he's a cat.
Also, he doesn't like Nick Foles. Antonio Brown does not want to play with Nick Foles. Big Cat was talking to him, I feel like it was like a week ago, and he said, nah, I don't like Nick Foles.
Parco, do you remember the first series?
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that on Twitter. Let me see if I can find the audio.
What beef does he have with Nick Foles? Have they ever played together?
Right, Nick Foles is a good person and Antonio Brown isn't, so he doesn't like it.
That must be it. They can't. Their personalities clash too much.
I'm just imagining Antonio Brown in some level of situation, like on the Bears' first drive against Carolina on Sunday, when Jimmy Graham was on the field, then he was off the field, and then he was on the field, then he was off the field, all on one play when there was a delay of game, a timeout, and the Bears were completely dysfunctional. Now, maybe that'll get better, but if you did that to Antonio Brown, you'd have a real problem. Jimmy Graham kind of just rolled with it.
I agree with you. I'm not saying it would go over well or it'd be easy. And I don't know what the contract would be, right? Like when Schefter's saying there's going to be multiple teams clamoring for his services, maybe he's going to get a bunch of money. My guess would be he's going to get a one-year prove-it deal. Like I don't think Antonio Brown's going to get reinstated to the league and get 3 years, $45 million with $30 million guaranteed. There's not going to be much of a guarantee attached to it, and it's probably just going to be a one-year prorated deal. So in that scenario where you could turn around and cut him instantly if he was a pain in the ass, I'd have no problem with it from a football standpoint. Again, I'm operating just from a football standpoint. We're not talking the morality of it because they need playmakers. Like if you're trying to upgrade this team, you should be thinking about Quentin Spain, the guard that was cut by the Bills today. You should be thinking about trading for Joe Thuney, the guard who's on the franchise tag on the Patriots. You should be thinking about signing Antonio Brown. Like, if you think the Bears at 5-1 can win the NFC, any player who becomes available between now and a week from Tuesday, the trade deadline, you should be interested in, because that's how championship organizations operate.
That's all fair, and it's important. At least I'd like to think, for me, it's very hard to separate the two. Like, would you rather?
It's not for football people.
I know.
For football executives, it's not. You're a normal person, kind of. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a normal person too, kind of. Like, how many times have we seen it? How many times have we seen people who do terrible things get third, fourth, and fifth chances in the NFL if they're good enough? Like, the league has taught us that.
Yeah, and let's throw 2016 Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs. They went out and got him. This is going to be the guy, most likely, didn't work out that way, that's going to be on the mound when you win the World Series. Are you signing up for that? Cub fans signed up for it.
Of course. And even the ones who said they didn't still cheered when he, you know, was right. a part of the team. Like, that's just it's just.
But
we have the luxury of being able to parse these things. The people who get hired and fired based on wins and losses and not on any sort of morality curve don't have that same luxury. And if Antonio Brown is on the Packers, that's bad for the Bears. That's the reality. We'll keep talking about it before Tom Thayer. We'll ask him as well at 4 o'clock on the Score.
Where are you going to get back on a team or no?
Man, what do you think? We doing this for fun? This ain't for fun. This is for real.
The Bears. The Bears could use another receiver.
Nah, with Nick Foles.
Oh, no, they love Nick, dog. No, they love Nick.
I think that's secondly tampering by me, too.
Hey, say the boy said they called Nick on the show Big B. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, what? Well, yeah, name. Hey, he's
that,
the one.
That's his name.
Those two guys are the ones they called him Nick.
Big Cat and Deion Sanders with Barstool and Antonio Brown. He apparently says no to the Bears. This hour's keyword for the Google Home giveaway is adventure. Text adventure to 44995 for your chance to win the new Nest Audio from Google. Get the latest sports news from 670 The Score with a little help from Google. Just say, hey, Google, play 670 The Score. Again, text adventure to 44995 to win. Message and data rates apply. Michael Silver is from the NFL Network. He says that the Ravens did a lot of due diligence in the offseason on Antonio Brown to look out for them. He's apparently, teams are clamoring, according to Adam Schefter, to do their due diligence on Antonio Brown. Seattle is reportedly involved. He's too talented, man. And so, listen, it doesn't sound like it'll be the Bears, and that's fine. All you got to do is a Google search for Antonio Brown, and you'll understand why, morals-wise, you got no interest in that guy. There's domestic violence incidents. There's paternity incidents. There's just general jackassery, frankly, like, all around. Like, he's, like, kind of remorseless on a lot of this stuff. It's very, very, very unbecoming, and that's putting it very, very lightly. But he's also a legitimate Hall of Fame talent, and the NFL cares more about the latter than the former. They've showed you that 100 times over.
So the craziness on some of the videos is where I would have ruled him out. But, and you're right about everything you're saying as far as, of course, he's going to get another opportunity, maybe even multiple opportunities. If it doesn't work out of this next one, maybe he'll get somewhere else. I would just propose to Antonio Brown, why are you canceling teams off your list? That would not be the wisest. Dude, what are you doing? And by the way, I'm wondering if anyone's rattled that he doesn't think Nick Foles is any good. Because I might be slightly rattled by that. Like, oh, is that the perception of a lot of guys?
I mean, yeah, well, I would say if just to name the other two teams, right? Mike Silver says Ravens, Schefter says Seahawks. I'd rather have Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson throwing me the ball than Nick Foles also.
I mean, sure, at least he's not saying that he wants to go play with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's now benched. I get that. That's fair.
Yeah, right? So these are some of the best players in the league that apparently, maybe he knows the caliber of teams that are interested in him. But sounds like he's going to have a home come week 9 of the NFL season. I want to ask Tom Thayer how much better an offensive line can get over the course of a season and how much of the Bears' inability to run the ball is specifically on the offensive line. Not Montgomery, not play calling, not Nagy, not scheme. Offensive line bad, running game bad. How much is that a direct A to B connection? Well, that's Tom Thayer next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.